John Tamney is the editor of RealClearMarkets.com and Forbes Opinions. RealClear is an excellent place to go and try to keep up with what's going up on Wall Street. John, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Before we talk specifics, tell me what your thoughts were when you just saw the week unfold and end with the credit downgrade.
Well, I thought it was somewhat predictable. Basically, when you mess with market forces, as in when governments try to blunt their impact, you get something much worse down the line. Suddenly, the markets are spooked by Italy. But the only reason they are is that we did not allow Greece months ago to basically default on its debt. And in not allowing Greece to default, it gave the signal to Italy and Spain and other countries that, hey, there's no reason to get your house in order. Someone's going to come in and save you. So you create bigger and bigger problems.
John, I started wondering what would happen if 10 or 15 or 20 countries started defaulting.
I think ultimately it's a good thing for the global economy. And let me explain, governments are always in competition with businesses, with the private sector for limited capital. And so any scenario that makes governments less attractive to investors has to accrue to the private sector where real wealth is created. And let's be clear here. These governments are not being bailed out. What's being bailed out are the banks that have exposure to the debt, and it's time that we get real about this, and if banks make mistakes, they should be allowed to fail.
I saw in a Fox News report over the weekend how even though the U.S.'s credit rating has been downgraded because Europe is in such disarray, many of those investors are coming over here and investing still.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see that. I don't expect today Treasury prices falling substantially. The reality is markets knew for a while that the S&P was probably going to downgrade U.S. debt. And as bad as U.S. debt looks to me at present, it probably looks a lot better than what they have over in Europe. So it could be a safe haven. And that's a very negative economic signal, too, if investors are flowing into government debt rather than into real productivity.
Do you think the debt ceiling legislation is going to help us get our house in order? Do you think a lot more needs to be done?
Oh, I think so. I think a lot more definitely does. And let's face it, I think the deal last week was one reason that the downgrade came to be. It only took a few hours for budget analysts to look at it and realize that there are no real spending cuts, that to the extent that they occur, it's years from now, 2013, 2014, and it's very hard to tell the Congresses of the future how to spend money. Odds are they're going to ignore it to begin with. It was a huge mistake to let that deal go down. They should have gone for actual real cuts.
John, from your perspective, do you think that the politicians are avoiding this because the serious nature of the cuts that really need to be made?
Yeah, they're avoiding it, and I think we as citizens, as voters, we're ignoring the basic truth. But these guys, their incentive, Republican or Democrat, is to go to Washington and spend money. It's the government's incentive to grow. That's how they get their power. And so it's essential that we be even harder on the legislators. And I think we be more serious about the Constitution. The beauty of it is we do have a document that empowers the federal government but then severely limits its power. We don't have a revenue problem today. We have a problem of government doing way too much, and here we are as a result.
John, as I watched last week unfold, it still struck me that the politicians, that the United States senators, that the House of Representatives still don't get what needs to be done.
Oh, I think without question. I mean, look at that deal. They made such a big deal about it. Over the weekend, we're going to make big cuts, and we get the gravity of it. And then you look at it, and there are no real spending cuts. I found it obnoxious and kind of an insult to the intelligence of the average voter. Voters are wise to what's going on here. They've heard about spending cuts forever, Republican or Democrat. They always say, we're going to shrink government this time, and they never do. And this is a classic deal where slight cuts that might occur based on future spending increases, not real declines in the size of government. And I think everyone's tired of it.
Well, John, through reading your writings as well as knowing the market, you can't predict it. But what if you can predict anything, what do you think we'll see today and the rest of this week?
I think we're going to see something pretty negative, but it's not related as much to the debt problem. Is look at the price of gold. What that signals is that there's an ongoing run on paper currencies of all shapes and sizes, from the dollar to the yen to the euro. That's negative for markets, because what do we do as investors when we buy stocks? We buy future income streams. But when governments are devaluing the currencies that are paid out in those income streams, they're basically telling us as investors, stay away. And so it's bad for the markets and it's bad for economic growth. There are no companies and there are no jobs without investments, and governments around the world are basically putting guns to our heads.
And John, before I let you go, we've had a couple of experts here from the Michigan area tell us that the value of the U.S. dollar is, or we should say the lack of, therefore of, is a big, big problem that seems to be ignored and not talked about. What's your take on that?
They're absolutely right. The weak dollar is the biggest weight on economic growth in the U.S. and the world right now. The reason the oil price and gasoline prices are high has to do with the dollar. When you devalue it, you raise the cost of expanding a business. You raise the cost of exports. You do everything negative. I can make a very compelling argument, I think, that the decline of the big three is solely related to President Nixon's decision 40 years ago next week to delink the dollar from gold. It led to the oil shocks. The oil shocks this decade, and it killed the U.S. Car makers.
John, another question for you. What do you think the new rules and regulations on Wall Street, the effect they've had, are they protecting us?
Utterly pointless. I mean, we're asking individuals who could not get jobs on Wall Street to not only regulate the greatest financial minds in the world, but we're also asking them to foresee the future. But if they had a hotline to the future, they'd be some of the richest individuals in the world. The only regulation you can have that works is basic. If you fail, you die. That regulation alone would force Wall Street and banks to get their houses in order. Anything else is just another lie to the voters that's not going to work.
So we shouldn't bail the banks out?
No, you never bail out failed businesses. When you do that, you paralyze the economy's evolution. We are an economy built on failure, and when you disallow them, what you're really doing is disallowing the successes.
All right, a final question for you. What needs to be done to help the markets thrive?
The biggest thing to me is for the U.S. Treasury to come out and say, not only do we want a stronger dollar, but we're going to define it in terms of gold. But at the very least, we need a stronger dollar, because that will signal to investors that if they commit capital to companies and innovative ideas, we won't devalue their investments through a falling dollar. You're just not going to have an economic recovery in Michigan or anywhere else without a stronger dollar.
But John, with all that paper out there for gold and not the physical product there, wouldn't that be a challenge?
I don't think so at all. You don't have to have any gold in the vaults to have a gold standard. It just has to be that the monetary authority says, we now, going forward, will define the dollar as a certain weight in gold, and the dollar will be redeemable at that weight. And once that's done, if it's credible, no one would want to exchange dollars for gold. They'd much rather have the dollars that they can get interest on and invest in companies. Once you do that, you see a huge economic turnaround, but I don't see any interest on the part of either political party to do what's necessary.
John Tamney is the editor for RealClearMarkets.com and Forbes Opinions. Awesome interview. Thanks, John.